Hey, did you guys know that if you email your boss, suck my ass, then you don't have to go to work anymore?
Really?
Yeah.
It's that easy? Don't have to or don't get to.
Seth's hot tips?
Yeah,
it's really Seth's, a matter of perspective.
Seth's hot tips on job retention.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
One.
Two.
Three?
Hey everybody, God. Welcome back to Faking Movies, episode 200 and Heinz Ketchup.
That was a good one.
Thank you, yeah. As is becoming customary, Seth tried to really goof up the count in today.
You didn't try, fully did.
Zach was upset, it looked like, a little bit.
It's fine, yeah. It's just, you know.
I think this might be Seth's edit, I'm not sure. Ooh, so
doesn't matter.
I do like to know ahead of time. I know it's not mine.
I listened to the whole cold part anyway, so like it's fine.
Oh sure,
I never actually go directly to the edit point.
Oh no. Neither do I.
Yeah. Oh yeah. all the gold is the shit we cut out in the beginning.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where we talk about names and social security numbers of people we love.
Yeah, what's your credit card again, just for
all kinds of security questions.
Yeah. Jesus being
my partner and I play this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My partner and I play this game a lot, where she just tells me answers to my security questions and talks about how if she really wanted to, she could steal my ID anytime she wanted.
Remember that time you went to X elementary school? It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh god,
remember that town you were born in named this? Wasn't that cool?
With that first pet named
First pet on that first street. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yep. She always messes up my mother's maiden name though, because she puts so much stink on it that she forgets how it's actually spelled. So.
Oh okay.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's the little things. Yep.
Yeah.
I like to think she learned that from me. So
yeah. Yeah,
it's like doing drugs.
Go on.
Huh? Oh, isn't it like I learned it from you, Dad thing? Isn't that a thing?
Oh!
Yeah.
From watching you.
Those commercials that from our childhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my security question. What was your favorite PSA growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Mine was actually, this is your brain on drugs thing.
But, oh, yeah, classic.
Oh, Rachel Lee Cook. Yeah, that's the best.
Is it Australia that has the really graphic ones?
New Zealand.
Canada, for sure.
Okay. Where, like, people falling off ladders and, like, violently hurting themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit.
There's a
Canada had some really intense domestic abuse ones.
Yeah. New Zealand has one where a guy falls through a plate glass table.
Oh yeah, that one's fucked.
Christ. And they're like, don't have tables in your house.
I was gonna say, what's the PSA? Like, no
eat
glass
off the floor.
Yeah, don't do gymnastics on your glass table.
There's another fun one where a guy is drunk driving and his friend dies, and then his ghost is just around him all the time, being like offering him like chips. I don't want ghost chips, bro.
I mean, these are effective. Like, you retained this knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I remember them.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
I really liked the one growing up where some kid is friends with the Ninja Turtles, but the cartoon ones from the cartoon TV show.
Cool.
And he's just hanging out at school, and he's clearly, like, in third or fourth grade. And some kid who's, like, in fifth or sixth grade walks up and, like, I thought as a little kid it was a cigarette, but clearly it's supposed to be a joint, and like holds out
a joint.
Oh, a
jazz cigarette.
You want
cigarette.
Some of the?
That's exactly what
you
I
want.
Thinking.
Some of this? You want some of this joint? And he's like, no, it's not good for you. And he's like, what are you, a chicken? And the Ninja Turtles are like, you're not a chicken. He's a turkey. And everybody's like, yay, Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles. That's the one I liked.
And then they ate one of those neon green Hostess pies filled with vanilla pudding.
They got salmonella from the sewer and died.
It's like that comic of the Ninja Turtles coming out and Shredder being like, you guys smell like literal shit. Like,
we gotta rent an apartment or something. This is out of hand.
Well, in the movies, shucks. They move into an old subway station.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, yeah.
Christ. Yeah, those movies, some of those movies rule.
Two of them, maybe?
Yeah, well, TMNT, the animated one from like 2006 or 7 is good.
I'm not sure I've seen that one.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart's the voice of the villain.
Oh. We all agree Secret of the Ooze is top one.
Yeah.
And Kino doing some karate with the turtles.
Goddamn right. Mm-hmm. Super mm-hmm. Shredder, the whole biz. Yep.
Oh, God. Fucking love
Toka
that.
Toka and Razar.
Yeah. Because
They didn't want to use Bebop and Rocksteady. I don't remember why. Yeah.
Probably because they were back in Hokkaido, cool Japan or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Mm. They're not
Union. Or Edo era Japan. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, you should check out our Twitter.
Very hard.
No, I didn't hear what you were saying. I just didn't want to forget.
Aren't they doing a new one? It's like an animated one again.
Yeah, Seth Rogen is producing and maybe writing. I think
he does Boys and stuff. I think right. He does comic book stuff currently. Or no, Lucifer. I think he did Lucifer. No,
really?
Nope. The other one, biblical also. Preacher did the Preacher.
Oh, Preacher.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah.
But like, I know animation's probably cheaper at this point, but like live action TMNT movie in 2023 sounds fucking awesome.
No, but you
know, but they made them like 10 years ago and they were fucking terrible.
They were made with Transformer Man and using that animation style.
Oh, Mike Bay.
Yeah.
They're Platinum Dunes, baby. Well, that's his production company.
First problem.
It looked fucking awful. And because
orange and blue, I assume. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just trash.
Ugh. All right, fair enough.
I love the turtles.
Mariel Twitter. Great job, Mariel.
Mm-hmm. I
think we found a movie for Mariel to do maybe in the near future. And
possibly,
exciting.
Although I know we talk about we want to get her in for musicals generally, but that one you found could work.
Yeah. We'll see. Is that a musical? Okay, either way.
No, I'm saying as opposed to what we usually do.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Schmigadoon season 2 is coming up, which is
I saw
very
that
exciting.
Chicago. I don't know. Like, I really lost steam watching it.
It's one of those like this could have been a YouTube video probably, but like I like the people.
Too long.
And,
yeah. It was too long. But the people are great.
Yeah.
You know, if we get who's the main actress in that?
Cecily Strong
from SNL. Cecily Strong dressed up like someone in the movie Chicago, that'll make my year.
Certainly. We'll write an email. Yep. She's not on SNL anymore, I think.
We'll make it happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they already filmed it, but okay.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's going to be that era of musicals, though. So it's not just going to be Chicago. I'm assuming it'll be like Sweeney Todd. There'll be a lot of Sondheim, I think. Like Fosse dancing and Sondheim type songs is what I'm gonna assume.
That does sound cool, I guess. Yeah. What if they did all that jazz? Can you make all that jazz funny? No, you can't really.
Well, Yeah, I mean, it's kind of about a guy choreographing his death. So
yeah, it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. What if we make our own called All That Jazz Cigarette?
Sure. Or we do a Star Wars version.
Yeah,
All
That Jizz.
It's called All That Jizz.
I mean, it writes itself, but
yeah.
All That Jazz was another movie that I, before doing this podcast, never would have entertained watching and watched it and was like, holy shit, that ruled so hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a really
good
movie.
Yeah, it owns bones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Goodbye Life. What a great fucking number.
Yep. Straight to the point. Yep.
And then he literally dies.
Yep. Yep. Oh boy! All right. Well,
he's making a movie.
Lee's doing a movie.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm Lee.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. Nice to meet you.
Welcome back to Faking Movies.
So,
This is episode 2.
Wait, do we have ad breaks? Hell yeah!
tomato ketchup or whatever.
Yeah. 257. Yep. Mm-hmm.
250 heaven.
Special. Yeah, special sauce on French fried potatoes or whatever.
Seth, as has become.
Oh, were you just trying to quote everything we had said up to this point? He really is trying to do that.
Yeah,
that would have been fun though.
It would have been impressive. We would have left it all in, and it would have been alienating.
Yeah,
but indeed, quite impressive.
I don't have an endemic memory, so it doesn't.
Or
ow,
a
you're not, stenography ow, I hurt my machine. Nose on one of my rings. Ow.
Oh, little jewelry boy.
Oh, I
don't have control of my hands.
The one I made you, I purposefully left sharp.
I know, I asked you to.
Yeah.
Did you make this out of a fish hook? Why?
No, it's me this week. Yeah. I'm faking a movie.
It is.
The movie you guys gave me is called Smoke, and I do want to ask a clarifying question really quick.
Mm. Okay.
I see that Harvey Keitel is the first person you put in
here.
Sure,
yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Harvey Keitel is in a movie called Holy Smoke, which I haven't seen, but I know what it's about. Mm-hmm. This isn't you just pretending that this
No, it's not.
Okay. Like, you didn't give me a partial title.
Seth,
you
got it. This is Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah,
all right.
Turns out.
Okay.
It's actually just called Final Fantasy 12. I don't know where we got
smoke. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. It's because there's a smoke monster in it. So we were like, yeah.
Oh.
Smoke monster.
Yeah. Oh, J.J. Abrams prequel. Does Final Fantasy 12. Mm-hmm. No. Okay, so apparently he is. I mean, he's been in like 4,000 movies. Mm-hmm. No, this
right.
movie is called Smoke. There are many movies called Smoke, turns out. This is one of them.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, Smoke. Mm. Sorry, it's an afternoon record, everybody.
Everybody's
so I'm
sleepy.
Not, yeah.
Sure enough.
Yeah. the middle of the afternoon, I needed a little tweet to get through the day.
What did you
We didn't have any candy in the house.
Oh,
that's why I made coffee.
Treat. I was like, what the fuck word did you just say? Like a tweak?
Okay.
What is that what you call coffee? A tweak?
That's a very different thing.
Yeah.
That's crystal meth.
Yeah. we should have a coffee shop called Tweakers. And, oh, that's
a joke from South Park.
No
cops allowed.
Yeah.
Shit.
Never mind.
And that invention was crystal meth.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I was just doing like old British radio voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where that quote would have come from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nowhere. All right. The movie Smoke. Smoke the motion picture.
Yes.
It stars, according to you guys, at least.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel, yes. William Hurt, dead sexual assaulter, you know, William Hurt.
Mm. Was he really? Did not know that.
Yeah, Marley Matlin has laid out some pretty fucked up shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof. All right. Bummer.
Yeah. Giancarlo Esposito, who is awesome always.
Yep.
Correct. I think kind of early for him in this one, but yeah.
Okay.
Definitely on the track, yeah.
Jared Harris, son of first Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
I remember giving you him,
but yeah. There it is.
I remember him mostly from Chernobyl, which is a brutal and fantastic show.
Yeah, he's quite good in it. He also was on Mad Men.
He's been in a bunch of shit.
He's great.
I played Moriarty in the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that works for him.
Which... Yeah. Kind of inspire. It's kind of informs my the way I used him in this a little bit.
Okay,
Iron Holmes.
exactly.
Is this an Iron?
It's not an Iron. It's not an Iron Holmes.
Shit,
I'm sorry.
Of the smoke.
No, I think I maybe overplayed what I meant by that. I just mean that he's a villain.
You got me
to
all
an extent.
Excited
yeah.
that maybe you were doing an Iron Holmes movie.
And...
Hey,
I'm
Seth,
sorry.
Way to super pre-guess though. Keep.
Yeah, that
going.
Was good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah.
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 Harold Perrineau.
Yep.
We were talking about Lost a little while ago.
Sure enough. Yeah. Also great in everything he's ever been in.
Everything. Romeo plus Juliet. He's
so
incredible.
Oh, steals the show in that. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
What a great actor. Which is why I made him the star in my movie.
Hey,
so.
Love
good
to
man,
see.
Good man.
Forrest Whitaker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everyone loves Forrest Whitaker. Stockard Channing.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Stockard Channing.
True.
And so we didn't make up this cast listing. She is very low on the cast list, which is a crime, but yeah.
Yeah.
Is it because she has a small part or like.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zach, you may remember my sand wedge when I play golf is named Stockard Channing.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I
and
love
the worse
that.
I'm. The worse I'm doing with it, the more character names I start to use. Instead of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
I'm not realizing we haven't played golf in a very long time, and now I'm sad, but.
Oh, right. Mrs. Bartlett!
Shit.
Exactly. Oh, like, yeah, sure. If I'm not even referring to it as Dr. Bartlett, then I've been hitting some bad shots. Yeah.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Shit, I forgot.
You're really
about
embracing
that.
Old white guy golf at that point, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, Zach, you and I haven't played since Family Vacation years ago.
100,000 years ago. Yeah.
For some context, re-show timeline was the time period we were recording, I think, like the fourth episode of the show.
Yeah, it was the Velodrome one. What's the.
Get Over It.
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, the one where there's a race in Pittsburgh up the hills.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Which is a real thing, as you know. And
sure enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last name you gave me, mercifully, it's finally, we've reached the end of this cast list.
We cut some
Judd.
Out.
Yeah, we cut some people out.
There's at least two or three.
Out, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A small part
for
her.
Well, there's
a
lot of fucking people in this.
Sure.
Inexplicably. Yes. Yep.
All right, well, I'll tell you what my movie, Smoke, is about.
Sounds great.
Okay. So we're going to open on a celebrity talk show, kind of like an Oprah-style show that everybody watches.
Stalker Channing. Raphael.
Or like Oprah. Stalker Channing is the host, and she's interviewing Harold Perrineau, who is clearly, based on the way everybody's treating him and reacting, he's clearly like the biggest movie star in the world. Mm-hmm. And they talk about his career and accomplishments, and they get on to the topic of his new movie, which is part of a big franchise, and it's the final installment that's supposed to come out in a little more than a year at this point. Harold, talks about how he's done everything in his career and life, and to end the series with this next movie in his franchise, he plans to die on camera. And Stockard kind of pauses, and he finishes up with, "Not my character, I am going to die on camera." And then Stockard kind of starts her next question.
Jeez, talk
and
about
then
all
kind
that
of,
jazz. What are you? Is this
yeah,
just
right?
all that
oh.
jazz?
It's not, but I could see the connections.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Stockard like pivots and start to ask her next question without like really thinking about it. And then you could see her brain catch up to what she just heard. And you see the shock on her face, and everyone in the audience is dumbfounded and silent, and that's when we get the credits rolling.
Uh-huh.
So that's the cold open, more or less. So then we
is there a
the
clone?
Next thing we see
is this a clone movie?
Oh, we're not doing a Seventh Day is the one, not Prestige. Like you Seventh Day.
What's the one with the twin gynecologist? Is Jeremy Irons?
That's
not really a clone.
So
I guess.
Much. No, they're just twins. Yeah. Dead ringers.
Wait, do I have clones?
I mean, from a technical
I'm gonna have to
standpoint,
call the
yes,
doctor after this.
You do,
yeah, I guess,
but,
depending on the definition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, oh, Seth, man. I think that movie's called The Sixth Day. Is it the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right.
I just remember the cover art, which is him wearing some
yeah,
like,
things
goofy,
his eyes.
Goofy goggles,
yeah.
And he's all like,
yeah.
I'm
assuming that's a Philip K. Dick movie, right?
Yeah,
it must
surprise
be.
Me.
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A loose adaptation, as they all are.
Like, well, yeah, I don't want to interrupt you, but that is a spectacular cold open. And we were just before this talking about RIPD2, The Dawn of the Dead, or whatever the fuck. And I'm like, yet again, how are people not paying us to make movies? This is absurd.
So by the end, I'll let you know what I had this idea this weekend. It was inspired by a very specific thing, and I'll let you know what that is and see what you think of my, in my mind, not so thinly veiled version of this story based on inspired by actual events,
so
kind of. So
was it the 1996 cloning of Dolly the Sheep?
Oh,
no,
oh,
it's still
okay.
not clones.
Okay.
Didn't
yeah.
we do a Dolly movie? Somebody did a Dolly movie.
Oh, maybe. It seems like it would have been a limited series.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, we on the podcast, I think someone made
oh.
a Dolly movie. Anyway, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Okay.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
That's Ooh. Just about a
I'll take that
a musical a musical about prostitutes with Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, so it's a Dolly
nine
movie.
To five? Is it 9 to 5?
Oh, God damn it.
Finger guns.
Hey. Love to see it.
Okay. So the next thing we see is going to be Harold and Giancarlo. And Giancarlo plays his best friend and manager, and they're working through a crowd of reporters that are all shouting questions, things like, you can't be serious, is that even legal, etc., things like that. Tons of flashbulbs. It's going to be in like a big single shot where the camera is in front of them, kind of moving backwards as they move forwards. Mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm. So we're like, they're going, you know, weaving through the crowd and all this stuff.
Running over Harold press, just like maiming them.
Well, no, the camera's not literally there, like the camera in the sense of the way it's being filmed.
Oh, I thought you had like, yeah, the rail and people get their legs caught in the rail and then it's a real trolley.
I assume
problem.
There would be a rail or like a steady cam, yeah, like, but not in the
I feel like we're back in all that jazz.
Did you know what I meant, Zach? Like, I'm just curious.
I knew I should stop just being a shit.
No, it's fine. This is what I do, but it's the double down that bothers me. Like, you're supposed to just move on. Like, I move to the next goof.
Yeah, like Matt Seth, right?
I guess I don't have the art down yet.
We approached the problem in different ways.
I think you're playing 5D chess, Seth. That's the problem.
Yeah, right? Paul Simon it when you Art Garfunkel it because you have the art.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back.
Yeah, well, I've got the hair and the beautiful voice.
Yeah,
so.
And I've got the being a tiny Jewish man.
Well,
you're also the one who writes all the songs in this metaphor.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Me and
must
Julio.
Must we with the bassoon every time?
Why is there so
you
much bassoon in this? Ugh, this isn't a Sonny and Cher song called the
okay.
Okay, no, just keep going.
So, the camera's moving. This is quite long, just to give you a heads up, just so you.
All right.
You don't have that much to say about the original, so it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. You have a lot to say now, though. That's the best part.
I sure do, bitch.
So the camera's. You know, they're walking through the hallway. It's like a hallway walk and talk. Like, you know, there's reporters everywhere. Harold, never flinching. He's got that big movie star smile the whole time. Giancarlo is just deflecting all the questions as they eventually end up in an office. Mm-hmm. And we see the title, Smoke. And we focus on all this cigarette smoke rising up from an ashtray on a desk. And we see Harold and Giancarlo head on, just, you know, we're in the POV, basically. We're behind the person who's sitting at the desk. And we're seeing over the shoulder of that person. And Harold asks that person to put out the cigarette. And it's Harvey Keitel who throws a quip like, why, you worried the smoke is going to kill you? So, you know, Harvey is the head of the studio. A longtime defender of Harold who has been through some PR nightmares in the past. He has weathered them all, mostly. Mm-hmm. We learn all this in like a big conversation scene here. Like it's all exposition. But the main thrust is that Giancarlo is assuring Harvey that Harold wasn't being literal. And he's talking about spinning it to make it seem like he was talking about the character. And wouldn't it be a bold marketing strategy to give away the ending of this movie up front? Okay. And you can see this whole time that Giancarlo is like trying to convince himself that this is what's going on. Sure. He doesn't even really believe it.
You say it's exposition, Harvey, but it really seems more like Esposito.
Oh.
Oh my God. Wow. What? Holy shit.
Guess we're going to say that for the rest of our lives.
Thank you, Seth.
It's more of a show don't Esposito kind of situation.
Oh, that is so hard to parse at that point. Yeah. I love that we're only really two deviations away from the center. Yeah.
It really is Cockney rhyming slang if we're going to be real about it.
Okay. Harvey Keitel in the scene, he's pissed at Harold for saying something so potentially damaging. Mm-hmm. Continually pointing out that they're friends and he's Harold's biggest defender, but this is going to be a big issue. Mm-hmm. But he never actually asks like Harold how he's doing or why he said it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of get the point that they're not actually friends.
He's an asset. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. He's his friend as long as he can make money off.
Well, and like you said, he's probably trying to be in denial as much as possible. So like asking him would kind of ruin that sort of.
Well, it's more Esposito who's trying to be in denial because they are actually friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Harvey Keitel is just like the network guy, or not network, but studio guy.
Yep.
Harold in this scene, it's like mostly being non-committal to everyone in the room. Never shakes the smile off, but occasionally he does throw in things like, "I am serious," like just. But he's so that's basically how we're going to get a lot of background and interaction between those characters.
Sure.
So after that, most of the movie is going to be interactions between Harold and the press and his co-stars and people in his personal life related to what he said on Stockard's show. For instance, Ashley Judd and Jared Harris are his co-stars. Ashley is one of the other good guys in this movie series, and Jared plays the villain in the series. That's what I was getting at with the Moriarty. And Ashley and Jared are actually a couple in real life in this in the movie. In the context of the movie, the actor...
confusing ages.
But... the fake life, real life, yeah.
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 Did you actually say what the show was, or is that something you're...
The movie? No, it's like a big action tentpole franchise, yeah.
Seth, it's called All That Jazz by Robert Fosse.
So Jared and Ashley used to be a lot closer to Harold before they became a couple. But they're still actually concerned for, you know, concerned about him and what's going on. But you can see that there's like a lot of distance in their relationship that has just over the years when they became closer with each other, they became less close with their friend. Sure. You know, it's a very real thing. And as we learn throughout the movie, like Harold doesn't have a significant other of any sense. So like he doesn't have this same kind of relationship to fall back on.
Sure.
So this is when we get, when Harold's interacting with them is the first time we're going to get a refrain from Harold that he'll repeat throughout the movie. He's not he never goes so far as to back away from the statement about dying on camera, but he always kind of ends these interactions by saying it's showbiz. It's all smoke. To kind of calm everyone down a little bit, you know?
Everybody drink. We said the title of the...
That's going to come up a lot.
All the time with Wife of the Podcast, and she... It's her least favorite goof.
I also do it all the time. So
I also do, too, but my partner does also be like, oh, that's the name of the movie.
Right, it's so fun. Yeah. Especially when it's like, I don't know, Avatar.
We have to get in our avatars.
Yeah, like it's hard when you watch like movie. Like Star Wars. You're like, when are they gonna fucking say it?
God damn! they don't say Menace once. I don't think I've seen a Phantom of the Paradise in this entire goddamn movie.
I think Yoda does refer to a Phantom Menace at some point.
Really? Oh. In the first one, huh? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
In the fifth one.
I mean, I wish it was episode one, Dexter.
A Phantom Menace it was that drew Obi-Wan to your father, it did.
Everybody's like, Empire's really good, but that one 15-second chunk is fucking weird.
Yeah, I swear to God, they added that later, but I mean, it's on the original print. I think we all just blanked it out.
If you squint, you can see Hayden Christensen in the background.
Oh, boy. I think it should be called episode one, Dexter Jexter's Cafe.
Oh yeah.
Well, that would be episode two. So episode two should be called episode one, Dexter Jetster's Cafe.
You know what? While we're chopping and screwing, why the fuck not?
What an odd numbering convention. Yeah. And then they skip right over to three straight.
Yeah, it's
they're doing all these shows now, you know, with like these really obscure universe characters.
Oh my god, is a Dex's Diner, a Dex's Diner sitcom? Are you fucking kidding me?
God, that's gonna be damn, so be good. Awesome. Max Rebo comes in, he's like, I'm a weird elephant Muppet, and Dexter Jexter will be like, I'm a CGI four-armed fry cook.
With a mustache.
With a upsetting mustache, yes. And it is upsetting.
All the reviews go, this is still better than Obi-Wan, so like I'm here, I guess.
It's so boring. I don't understand.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get back into my guy.
Yep.
The next sequence I wanted to talk about is so William Hurt plays like the big time nightly news anchor who gets the primetime interview as the movie is getting closer and closer to coming out.
He's really got that look about him. That fits very well. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the character he plays in broadcast news. Yeah. This is why I specifically
got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is that great movie. You should watch it.
So I'm told. Yeah.
You can tell that he thinks he's above this type of interview, but the story is too big.
It's too sensational.
For like the celebrity press at this point. Like Stockard Channing is like a huge Oprah-ish kind of figure, but like this has moved on to just regular mainstream news at this point. Yeah. So they get into the interview and they start to get, Harold starts to get more personal than he has in years. Even more personal conversation than he had been having with his friends that we had seen earlier in the movie. And we see that Harold isn't really like just the crazy celebrity that everyone thinks he is. He's just someone who feels very alone. And he talks about all the distance in his relationships, both his working and personal, how his image for the last several years has been all surface. And when pressed by William Hurt about the on-screen death eventually in the interview, he just repeats the refrain, showbiz, it's all smoke.
This is very pertinent for like now times, I feel like, with like all the Instagrams and the like tons of access to everyone's personal life, like this whole like I am adored by billions but have no actual human contact in a meaningful way is like
When I tell you what inspired this, I hope that it seems even more like obvious in retrospect.
Sure. Give us some exposito.
So,
yes, I had already back. Forgotten.
He's going to be back soon. So
I met
Forrest Whitaker.
Exposition.
Yeah. I know. Oh, okay. I see. I've just been using them interchangeably in my life since you said it. So,
in my life since you said it 7 minutes ago.
All right, Forrest Whitaker is the director, and he and Harold have been working together for a long time. Harold was a big advocate for Forrest getting to work on big movies like this, so you can tell there's a closeness. But Forrest is also really wary, but he's excited at the same time, because this is, like, his biggest movie ever, and with this guy who, like, really went to bat for him, and, like, things are kind of crazy, but he trusts him. So so these sequences are much more heavy on the process of making the movie. So like planning stunts, figuring out the way they'll work in rehearsals. Giancarlo is also there, and you can tell he's involved in the way the movie is going to be made. Like he's not just an assistant. He's also like an EP. Like it's like these are Harold's real relationships are his working relationships. And these are the guys who actually became more than just co-workers. They're his friends.
Right. Yep. They practice motorcycling off a cliff like three times.
Exactly. Stuff like that. So these scenes.
I was going to say, is that, you referencing that entirely too long Tom Cruise video?
So these things come across as the closest thing to a meaningful relationship for Harold that we see so far in the movie. He's much more expressive. It's not just his perfect smile. He's a bit, he's still
he's
guarded.
More
though.
Relaxed.
Like you get more,
it's,
you get more like natural personality. And so he is still being guarded with them, and you see Forrest and Exposito really don't, they really do look concerned. But always the way we end every one of these sequences with the refrain, it's showbiz, it's all smoke. So we get to the last day of filming, and they've got the whole movie shot except for the one big set piece where Harold's character will, in fact, sacrifice himself in the context of the movie to save the world.
This is so fun because you can do so much background stuff of like all the grips and stuff being like, what is it gonna, like, are we doing?
Exactly. That's exactly what this is. So, and a lot of the concern has died down mostly because they've been rehearsing this for so long. So there's lots of safety equipment present. There are tons of raw footage of the stunt that where things went well. It's just not like the real situation. It's like, we could just CGI this in and like, you know.
Notably, Alec Baldwin is not in the movie and doesn't have a gun in his hand. Like,
that's exactly correct. So everyone has now, over the course of this process, become convinced of Exposito's spin from the beginning.
It's good every time.
That's what his name is now in my head.
Oh yeah.
Of the spin from the beginning, when they were still like walking through the crowd of reporters, and it's, you know, that Harold wasn't being literal. Obviously, this is about the movie. So now everyone is bought in on this. Everyone we've met so far over the course of the movie is there to see the big stunt. There's all the crew, like Zach was saying. There's a huge crowd of fans that like won contests to be there, which was more spin that they came up with. Like, if we're giving away the ending to the movie, let's try to make some money off of it ahead of time by selling tickets to see this and like bringing in the press to cover it. And like, we'll have the biggest opening weekend ever. It won't matter.
I was going to say, somehow if a guy kills himself in a movie, I think that's probably the highest grossing movie of all time forever. Probably. Maybe. Everybody's going to see that. Like,
well,
I mean, so we get not the Crow.
Well, yeah, that one wasn't super I don't think they used that footage. God, I fucking hope not.
Yeah.
Also, Freaking Alex Proyas. Were the craft services people invited?
Okay, yeah, they're good, too. Good, good, good.
Be weird
if
they weren't.
Yeah.
Just assume they are. I included them with crew. Okay. I know they're not technically.
Yeah, they're usually still, they're like all below the line, agents, you know. Yeah. But like, yeah, I just want to make sure that they're involved because they're pretty.
What about the VFX guys? Sometimes they're overseas. That's like a whole. It's tough.
Yeah. I think they have the budget for it.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, they're not doing VXS. It's not like they're trying to buy in the moment. Guys.
Yeah, but these dudes want to show up and like see the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Sure, then they're there. They want to see brains splattered all over the pavement.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Now remember, at this point, there have been so many rehearsals, there's so much safety equipment, so much extra footage that everybody's convinced, like, okay, yeah, this was just a way like, to, like...
The death of my persona or whatever.
It's like, this is a way to drum up publicity. They got us. Mm-hmm. We paid to see, like, we're excited. This is great, you know. So we get to the moment of the stunt. And everybody's all like feeling good, but you can see that Giancarlo and Forrest actually aren't sure yet what's gonna happen.
Yep,
they're like really, everyone else, really fucking because tense. Yeah,
that's the fun part, of course. Yeah,
because they're the only ones who like really know him.
Yeah.
And Harold shows up, and you know, he's there without some crucial piece of safety gear that we know as the movie watching audience because we set it up earlier. You know.
Yep,
And Exposito and Forrest ask if Harold still wants to do this because it's not too late because they've got this great cover story. Mm-hmm. And Harold repeats the refrain. Mm. It's showbiz. It's all smoke.
Yep.
And he takes off on the stunt and we don't see it. But the reaction from everyone there lets us know that he definitely died performing the stunt.
Fun.
So then we get to a little epilogue for the movie. The movie is actually coming out now, and it's an even bigger deal because, as Zach said, someone died making it. It's the biggest it's the biggest star in the world died making the big franchise movie that everybody wanted to see anyway. Huge deal. And there's lots of like fake red carpet eulogies and stuff. And I remember working with Harold and, you know, bullshit.
Which
like
kind of cheapens the whole thing because that's I'm guessing not what he kind of was going for, probably. Like, sounds counter to the thing he would have wanted.
Unless he faked his own death.
Well, The Prestige.
We go into the premiere, and Giancarlo and Forrest are sitting next to one another, and Exposito says, you know, we had so much usable footage, and the studio forced Forrest to put in one of those, like, pre-vis shots where he didn't. That didn't actually where Harold didn't actually die, and it's like and they VFX'd everything in to make it look like, you know, real.
I'm not wondering and mentioning is it a crime? It's like could you I put mean, that I don't even
no,
know
I mean I think it is I think it is a snuff film. You're not allowed to.
The MPAA, famously shitty organization, would probably have some shit to say.
Yeah,
about
no
that.
you have to famously
Well, this is the premiere, like, which isn't like an open to the public event. This the industry
premiere.
They
get the good stuff. Yeah.
Well, so you know, Harold's dead. Giancarlo and Forrest are talking to each other before them, like in the theater as the movie's playing. You know, and he's like, "Man, I know this. I can't believe this. Like, the studio forced you to use the fake stuff, essentially."
Yeah, yeah.
He points out to Forrest, like, you know, it would be weird and like upsetting to see, but Harold was our friend and his last wish was to have that footage in the movie. It just sucks that we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And Forrest looks at him and smiles and says, "It's showbiz. It's all smoke," and points at the screen and smiles. And that's when we get to see the final stunt, which we didn't actually see in the movie, like earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm.
Wait, we're in the moment when the stunt was happening, or
we're in the theater while this is while it's on the screen now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the movie is playing at the premiere.
Yes. No. I get and it. You're saying
in the moment of the movie, it's when the stunt would occur.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's still we presume the fake footage or the previous footage or whatever. Right.
As far as everyone knows, it's the previous footage.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were saying like we're cutting back in time to when it was actually happening.
No. We're still in the It's we're at the premiere. Everyone assumes it's the fake footage because that's the thing. Harold didn't want that, but that's what we did. And Forrest points at the screen and smiles, and he's like, "Check it out." And this is the point where we get to see the last bit of the movie is we're as though we were sitting in the back of the audience, like in the last row of the movie theater.
Sure.
And we watch the perspective from someone from the back of the theater as we start to hear the audience's reaction to Harold actually dying on screen. And then we cut to black.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's the end of the movie.
Okay.
So... and the idea came from when I watched the stunt teaser video for the new Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise.
Oh, hey!
Where he notably didn't explode into a billion pieces on the face of that cliff, which...
Right, yeah, fun. Where he did 30 skydives a day to train, and they had to destroy, what, hundreds of motorcycles to get one shot?
A lot of really expensive ones, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I
was thinking environmentally what the fucking cost of that is, but, like, the thing about watching that, it wasn't just, like in my... I was watching this, and I just thought, it's like, this is an auto snuff film. Like, he wants to die on camera. Sure. Like, that's what this is. Uh-huh.
It increasingly seems like that. And we all know his mental health is a little bizarre.
Well, yeah, perhaps, that was the whole thing of the movie that I was trying to set up. These are kind of the way that the press reacts to Tom Cruise. Yeah,
Tom Cruise. He has that fake smile literally all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet everybody still loves him. Everybody that meets him is like... You want to hate him, but goddamn, he rules.
Yeah, well, that's from what I understand. Very charming. So
he is.
Well, yes, but from what I understand, one on one, he acts much differently.
I think in a good way, though. Like people seem
in
to
a good
like
way.
Him.
Yeah. But like, I watched this video, and like, they had Christopher McQuarrie, the director of all of the most recent Mission Impossible movies, which, by the way, fucking rip.
You have been talking about him a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The way he acts with Tom Cruise is like someone who's terrified of their boss, but not because they think their boss is going to do something to them, because they think their boss is going to do something to themselves.
Oh, yeah. The best part of that video is when he completes the stunt and they're in the tent with the like footage and they all just like breathe a giant sigh of relief that he lived.
Right.
Yeah. I gotta say, I mean, that video was like 20 some minutes long.
The one I watched was 7.
Oh, I watched like a very long one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, the stunt was fine.
Like, okay. I don't want to be like one of those guys, but I totally agree.
Yeah. It was just like, A, no one needed this. You could have just CGI'd the whole fucking thing. Like, I get Tom's like a lunatic and whatever and wants to do all his own shit and like break his ankle falling out of an actual plane in the sky. But like, when I saw the stunt, I was just like, this doesn't actually seem that complicated. Like, you just drive a motorcycle off a cliff and then you pull a parachute.
The practical version.
Well, like, because they showed all that footage of him just doing it on, like, a pile of boxes in a safe-ish controlled area. Because he had, like, a harness on.
He has
the
swing
just on a zip line.
He doesn't actually fall. But, and then, like,
it's like, why couldn't they use that?
Right. And the directors the whole time are like, this is going to change. Like, they're all James Cameron about it. They're like, this will, everybody's going to fucking lose their mind. And then you see it and you're like, all right.
I mean,
don't get me wrong.
I lost my
mind. I love those movies.
Sure.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. That was a lie. That was a goof.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad, because I would have been worried for you, because we're friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not wrong. The Mission Impossible movies have a trajectory not unlike Fast and Furious movies, where the later ones, you're like, these are good, right? Like, I'm not crazy. Like, these are actually very enjoyable movies.
Yeah, the most recent three are really good.
Yeah.
I think I've seen them.
There's a line in the fifth one.
They're good.
Oh, well, those are two of the best ones.
Lee, what was your power ranking the other day, if you can remember?
4, 6, 5, 1, getting hit by a car.
Yep.
2, getting hit by many cars.
Yep.
3.
Yep, there it is. That was eloquently put.
Oh, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, right? Isn't that the good one?
Did Seth lose his mind?
Is that Tokyo Drift?
Oh.
We're talking about...
Honestly...
I was talking about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
No, damn it, not Fast and Furious. I was talking about Mission Impossible.
Yeah. The fact that, that 3 is like decidedly the weirdest of both series is like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Is 3 the weirdest of Mission Impossible, though?
I mean, it's the worst, I guess.
It looks like a TV show.
That's the first Simon Pegg one? Am I correct about that?
Yeah, that's
what
he debuted.
It does look like Hot and Cold Running snake shit. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So there's a scene, Zach, in the fifth Mission Impossible where fucking Alec Baldwin looks at another character and says, "You fucked up. You have Ethan Hunt is on your trail now," and he is this. I'm paraphrasing, but this is a literal quote from the movie. "Ethan Hunt is the living embodiment of fate," or no, destiny. He's the living embodiment of destiny.
See, again, it much like Fast and Furious, it pays off to take a fucking massive swing sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like if you really truly believe in your own shit and just like we're doing it, like. That I do appreciate that. I also completely fundamentally don't remember Alec Baldwin being in any of these movies.
Not Alec.
He's in the fifth one. Oh, yeah, he's in two of the movies.
Weird.
He's in the fifth one, and then he dies in the sixth one. Spoiler.
I mean, Seth and I are going to do a Mission Impossible full watch in the coming weeks. Yeah,
we're going to have to. By the way, I was going to pitch for next year's horror full watch. We should just do Scream.
Scream?
I'm down with Scream.
We're at four.
It doesn't seem painful enough, maybe.
Friend of the show, Kev, has just watched all of the Screams. Yeah. So.
Somebody was saying Scream's not really there. Was it Marielle? Scream's not really there. Their like franchise. Somebody, I don't know. I genuinely
Marielle doesn't
them.
Like horror movies.
Oh, that's
so.
True. Yeah, yeah. I love the Screams, even the bad ones. And I don't know. I've always envisioned this quest being somewhat painful, at least in the middle and end parts. But I would be super down for the Screams. And they're TV shows. There's a whole TV show.
Well, that's what I was going to point out. Oh. There's six movies, but there's a 3-season TV show.
Oh, and
also.
I hear it's very bad.
I remember after I watched Scream 4 for the first time years ago, before Scream 5 and 6 were even a glimmer in our eyes.
Yeah.
Which I remember trying to watch. I don't. 5 is my least favorite Scream movie ever. I think 5 is total
hot
trash
take.
Garbage.
I think you also really like 3, which is. Like objectively an incorrect opinion on that, but
I think I like 3 for what it tries to do. I don't particularly
I'm
like 3.
Sure.
They seasoned of the witch 3, right?
Oh, huh.
Kind of.
No, it's still the same.
I'm pretty sure my favorite is that one with the chefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Scream.
Scream.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
Yes, folks, from episode 10.
Yeah, I feel like it was episode 10.
I think I've died and been reincarnated since then.
at least twice, but yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, I've tried to watch that show before, and Zach, it is, from what I remember, horrible.
I believe it's an MTV production, right? Like absolute worst years of MTV production? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, they were sharing sets with Teen Wolf, probably.
Yeah. All right, well, we're fucking doing Scream next year, then. or this year, I guess. That's for goddamn sure.
Man.
Leafers.
Nailed it. So, should we get on to the next portion of things?
Yeah, I suppose we should. Yep. Seth.
Anyway, yeah, this whole movie was my fictionalized version of what I expect the logical endpoint of Tom Cruise to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Snatch.
I do like that for him. That he's so like ethereal and kind of, you know, not of this universe. Like it does feel like he would sort of just disappear or die in a movie one day and everybody would be like, that makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's make a cocktail out of his corpse.
Sure enough.
Ugh, gross. Yeah.
Yeah, Seth, you got that. I am a DB. Man, writing a summary for this was a fucking nightmare, and Lee will know why pretty soon.
We'll get there. All right. So, Lee, do you want to hear that I'm DB?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, you know, in my neighborhood, there was a lot of characters, like Vinny, the overweight Italian man, and Harvey, whose penis I've seen, and the hard-working waitress at the diner, who always overcooked my eggs. Hey, forget about it!
Seth, you only got out the word so, and Lee's eyebrow went to the fucking moon.
Right, so the thing you're doing is the way people make fun of the one man show, A Bronx Tale.
Yeah,
All
right, well.
So is this an adaptation of A Bronx Tale?
All right, here you go. It's a 1995. No. A Brooklyn smoke shop is the center of neighborhood activity and the stories of its customers.
So it's like like 34 short stories about Glenn Gould, or like it's like a worse Do the Right Thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Holy fuck. Yeah. That is literally the last note that I have, is this feels like a Spike Lee joint, and it's way worse than one of those.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God damn. Yeah, no, it's somewhere in between. It's like simultaneously a bunch of sort of unrelated stories that are woven together, but then they weave it just enough where you're like, I'm confused, and the timing is all like interlaced and
so
bizarre,
like,
and like
Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I have a slightly longer summary. I hope it's not inscrutable. So yeah, we've got this huge ensemble thing following people that are linked via the smoke shop. I've tried to de-interlace this stuff as much as possible because it's again inscrutable if you don't.
It really
is. Hurt's wife and unborn baby were killed in a shooting. He's clearly still very affected by it years later, mm-hmm. and failing to continue to write, which is his career of choice. Mm-hmm. So, Harold one day randomly saves Hurt from walking in front of a giant garbage truck, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Hurt is obviously very, you know, happy about that, and agrees to house him for a while because I believe he doesn't currently have a house. Kind of wayward.
Yeah, but like, that's not clear. It's just like he offers this young black man a place to stay, and it's like really out of nowhere. Like, we have no idea that.
That's true. He doesn't say, like,
that Harold is
it sucks
is
to not have a house.
Yeah, no, he says literally nothing. He's just like, hey, you're a black guy in a white neighborhood, ergo, you don't belong here. So,
to be fair, this is Brooklyn in 1995. That sounds kind of on brand. Sure.
Sorry, I don't care about this movie at all. You sent me a picture,
I did.
Stockard Channing in this movie.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Oh,
yeah.
Again, wow. She is not in it very much, but yar matey, she does have
quite an eye patch. She has an eye patch. It's really...
Which is, I think, never referenced at all.
No, they definitely don't talk about it, but like, yeah, wowee.
So weird.
Can I ask, is she a good guy or bad guy in the context of the movie?
She's definitely not a good guy. I wouldn't say she's decidedly a bad guy.
Friend of the show, Austin, who happens to be a single-eyed man, has a running list of movie villains with eye patches or glass eyes and stuff.
Sure,
so
sure.
I'll have to let him know. Yeah.
She's definitely not a villain.
She's
I don't know that there's
villain.
Really
she's
a
kind
villain
of ambivalent
in this.
Because there isn't really a villain. Well, there are two villains. There's some gangsters.
Yeah. They are very stereotyped. It's the whole thing.
It really sucks.
So Hurt offers to house him for a bit. He takes him up on it. Harold's aunt comes looking for him, very upset the one day, and it's revealed that everything he told John Hurt was basically a lie, and that his estranged father works outside the city. They suspect that he might have gone there. Uh-huh. And then this is like the first time where the time in the movie is completely flipped around, and we go to, I think, a thing that happens in the past, but there's no indication that that's what's happening at the point in the movie.
So hold on. Mm. William Hurt owns the smoke shop.
No, Harvey Keitel owns the smoke shop. Yeah.
That's who I assumed would.
Whose penis I've seen.
Probably impressive. Yeah. Harold goes back and gifts Hurt a television because he said something about like wanting to watch baseball or some shit. And so he just shows up on the TV one day.
This is later.
Again, I've tried to de-interlace this as much as possible.
Yeah, okay.
I could have gotten
you could
the time
de-interlace it even more by not telling me anything about it.
Well,
but keep going.
Yeah. Some time passes. Hurt finds a bag full of money that Harold has stashed, and he explains that he's like on the run, having seen an armed robbery, and picked up the money just sort of out of instinct, I guess, that they dropped on the way out. And then he recognized the two criminals from the neighborhood or whatever, and they recognized him, and so he's in a bad place, and that's why he's sort of like on the run,
hiding out.
So again, this happens way earlier in the movie, but I think temporally after this, Harold gets a job with Harvey, but he kind of fucks it up very early, and floods some $5,000 Cuban cigars that Harvey was going to like flip, having imported them.
Yeah, sell to some politicians, in fact.
Yeah, I don't know how
it's Ed Koch's New York, baby.
Yeah,
Cuban cigars are illegal. It's you know.
Yeah, 5,000 seems like a very arbitrarily high number, but who knows?
It was Harvey Keitel's
life. I'm sorry, do you have a subscription to Cigar Aficionado? Auto?
I sure don't.
Well, then come, go get one, and then
anything's
report
possible.
Back.
Yeah. So Harold, sort of trying to make amends, gives Harvey the robber money. Mm-hmm. But oops, immediately the robbers show up at William Hurt's door and rough him up, and you know, like, you know, beat him up.
Because they found out he was there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Does he own a donut shop?
No. Nope.
No.
Why would you?
Hurt's donut?
No.
Still nothing.
Remember from when we were kids?
Because it was a punch.
Hurt's donut.
Oh. Yeah. I don't think we had that one.
It was a really funny joke.
Hmm.
Man, this is the second fart Lee's had to sit in today. That's
Listen, I'm just trying to entertain myself during the movie Smoke.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a real bump.
Seth and so I also tried to do that boring. And failed. Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
Harold has now actually run away in anticipation of these dudes showing up, and they did.
How did he escape?
He was never there. He, again, the timing's all fucked up. William Hurt was there. Harold had already been gone.
So he didn't have to bust out the purple crayon or anything like that.
Okay. Okay, I kind of got that one. Yep, yep. Mm. This is fun for
no someone? One?
It's not fun for me, that's for sure.
I know. We're getting through it. We're getting through it. So Harold runs away to Forrest's garage, which is indeed out in the country.
Yeah.
He had previously scouted papa. This.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Harold seems to know that this is his father. Forrest obviously does not know that he is Harold's father. Hurt and Harvey track him down there, and the father reveal situation all happens, and it's like very... like aggressive and kind of violent, but then
Forrest Whitaker only has he has one mechanical arm because he lost it in the car accident where they killed Harold's mother.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
He has a possibly tragic backstory. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought for a second you were making a Saw Gerrera joke or something.
No, but, it's just a cool thing that Forrest Whitaker likes to do. I guess.
Kind of like the eye patch thing. It's like, why did we need... We didn't need this, but here we are.
I like it.
Sure.
I think it's pretty good.
I always like... My favorite biker mouse from Mars was the one with the mechanical arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The scrappy
one. He also
one.
Had an eye patch. They really put a hat on a hat for that
sure
mouse.
Did.
Sure enough. Yeah. Okay. That's vaguely the end of that story. So now skipping to the Stockard Channing story, which is happening throughout all of these scenes, but again, we're trying to sort of mainline it here. So Rizzo is an ex of Harvey's.
Like an eight ball to the ball sack.
Yep, sure enough. She comes back with a super dope eye patch. I wrote that down. I mean, it is very dope. Looking for money for their hypothetical daughter. She promises the daughter that she can meet her father, to Harvey's great chagrin. Harvey didn't know he had a daughter. Still not even clear if it is his daughter.
Yeah. How many people in this movie don't know that they have children?
Oh, God.
Two, at least. Yeah,
two at least. Ashley Judd is the daughter.
She is, yes.
Named Felicity.
Yep.
But she hardly seems very happy.
They do make exactly that joke. It's about as good, yeah.
Now, does she have a really signature haircut that gets cut off like 2/3 of the way through the movie?
No, she does have a very signature look, and it is deep into addiction in the rugged slums of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Is her general sort of aura.
And 4 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that complicates things.
Yeah. Sure.
Stockard Channing dealing with pregnancies in just all the movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's not pregnant in Greece,
right? Yeah, well,
she thinks she is.
Right.
Sure.
So yeah, Rizzo wants money to get her into rehab, which Harvey gives her eventually.
Rizzo.
But sorry, Dr. Bartlett.
That's the worst thing you could do.
Harvey eventually gives it to her. It's the money that he got from Harold, presumably, and receives really no answer as to whether this is his daughter or...
It's very ambivalent.
It doesn't resolve in any way. It's very bizarre.
It's dumb.
At the end, Harvey and William Hurt meet for lunch after some time has passed and all of the shit is like resolved for a while.
William Hurt has a big, he's like back writing again, right? So he's like, oh, I have to write a Christmas story in my terrible Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
Which he has the entire time.
It's very unnatural for him. Yeah. Harvey tells him this story about how he met some random old lady after trying to return a shoplifter's wallet, who robbed the store, dropped his wallet, found the wallet, picks it up, goes to try to confront this person, finds only the grandmother, who is also blind, confusingly. Mm-hmm. And they have this interaction that's like, she knew that he wasn't the grandson, but like pretends that he is, and he just kind of goes along with it.
Yeah.
And so they share this, I guess it's supposed to be like a very sort of touching interaction over the course of this like Christmas day. It's just kind of weird, honestly. Like none of it really makes sense. And so he finds a stack of cameras there that the grandson had presumably stolen. He takes one and then takes a picture of the cigar shop every day as part of his ritual. And
yeah, this is, like, so throughout this entire thing, just every day he takes one photo and he has like fucking 4,000 of them.
Yes. Yep. So later he feels bad. He goes back to the apartment, tries to give the camera back, comes to find that the woman had since died, and he feels nice having spent her last Christmas with her, kind of playing along with this weird charade thing and making her happy.
Yeah.
So yet again, Hurt assumes this is a made up story and sort of alludes to that. And Harvey gives him this sort of non-answer. And it's another one of these, like, I think it's supposed to be very impactful that we're like leaving it like kind of wishy-washy, but like, it's just kind of dumb. Like it doesn't.
Yeah. It's all, like the little lies that people tell each other to like, stay sane in Brooklyn, New York. I had some crazy neighbors growing up.
Yeah. It's like no one ever read this script and like did any punch up at all. Like it's so confusing. Like all of these things.
Would you say that that these characters are blowing smoke?
And that's the third fart.
That's a phrase. I'm not. That wasn't supposed to be a joke.
No, I get it. But like,
sure. Maybe that's like, the implication. I don't know.
I don't know. It was a smoke shop. The whole smoke shop was. Yeah. I think it was called
unimportant.
Well, no, it's a real place. Yeah. It's based off of a real guy.
Lee, I think you are correct that this is intended to, the smoke is intended to be a very heavy-handed metaphor, with the smoke shop being sort of the like obvious first guess or whatever, but like,
well, you can see it but you can't touch it, there's, because it's sure. It's elusive,
there
it's
is
like the truth.
There's a line in the movie, I think William Hurt is in the smoke shop and he mentions that someone way back in history tried to measure the weight of smoke
by producing
a cigar. Right, yes. Producing a cigar, weighing it, smoking it, putting all of the ash on the thing, and noting that it was lighter, so that must be the weight of the smoke or whatever. But yeah, it's kind of a, like, everybody lives in their own reality thing, I think was the whole point of it. And, like, you tell these people these stories, and they might not be the truth, but they get the job done, quote-unquote. Like, they tell they tell people what they want to hear or what they need to hear or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's based on a book, and apparently the author, I think the author of the book is also the screenwriter, maybe?
Could be.
Yes, he is. And so, yeah, that's why I think there was, like, not a lot of editing. There should have been much more.
Like, this kind of stuff can work in a book because you get all of the characters' motivations and inner monologues.
Sure.
And
you can,
like,
sort of,
you get,
you
whatever,
sort of flesh it out a little bit. And,
whatever the author wants you to know about the character, they can reveal it in so many different ways. And in a movie, you don't get, like, many of those things are not possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the like, actual sort of sequencing was in the book, but the way that they go back and forth in time and also between the individual interlaced stories is complete nonsense. In the movie. Like, it is so impossibly hard to follow. Doesn't do anything really. Like, I don't know what they were going for, but they didn't achieve it, whatever it was. Like, ugh, it's bad.
It sucked. Totally sucked.
It's also very long. It's 152, I think.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Brutally long. Yeah, there's not really any even trivia or anything, like,
no, there's really nothing to talk about in this way.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
It was, yeah, not great. The money was,
The only good thing was Tucker Channing and her cool-ass eye patch.
She was great. But again, not in it very much. Oh, yeah, so Giancarlo Esposito and Jose Zuniga?
Exposito.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, Jose Zuniga, who is a character actor you would almost certainly recognize. They're just, like, dudes that come into the shop a lot. They're just in the background all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Jared Harris is, I believe, has like a
sweeping boy. He's like the sweep-up boy.
I think he has like a mental deficiency. Yeah. And, but again, they don't use that for anything. Like, they, again, it didn't need to be there at all. Like, I don't
there's a lot of crazy characters that come in and I out guess. Of this shop. I gotta yeah. say.
Apparently.
Let me do some impressions of them.
Please. It's so weird that's how Chaz Palminteri got famous. Mm-hmm. Like, and like the his whole because his whole thing that made him famous and brought him into like the prominence and like the basis of his entire career is one has become a shorthand joke, mm-hmm. and two, no one remembers that it's related to him yeah. at all. Like, good for him. Yeah. Like, I guess, but
yep,
yeah,
Yeah, the director has like a weird. So his name is Wayne Wang. This is very early in his career.
Yeah, I looked him up. I've actually seen a lot of his movies.
Yeah, he does a lot of rom-coms, like Made in Manhattan, and like I don't know. What are some of the other ones? I haven't seen like a ton of these, but yeah, he's all across the board in terms of like genre and like budget and all that shit.
Yeah, just sort of like brought in when. They need a director.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets things done. He gets them done fast enough. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah.
He started off making indies, and I've definitely seen one or two of his indie movies. Not, like, purposefully. It's just things that have been on the Criterion Channel that I've put on.
Yeah, I mean, he did the Joy Luck Club, too. Like, the first film version of the Joy Luck Club, which is somewhat significant given the Chinese American actors involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Hey guys, did you know that a musical version of A Bronx Tale directed by Robert De Niro opened in 2016 on Broadway and played for like until 2018?
Sorry. I think in the middle there you said directed by Robert De Niro? Am I losing my mind?
I don't like that.
He directs theatrical shit? What?
He's a New York boy. His dad was a painter. Like, you know.
But, like, god damn. That's confusing.
I'm trying to see how many performances it ran for. Because I would assume not many.
Was it the classic Spider-Man 1?
Yeah,
just,
right?
We had opening night. Three people died, and so we canceled
it off. One of the cast members died.
Yep. Whoa. Oh, Ariana DeBose was in the original Broadway cast.
Oh, my.
And by original, I mean the only Broadway cast.
In 2016, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't have anything to say about this, really. It sucks.
Yeah. Two very quick things. Yeah. So there is a literal sequel called Blue in the Face. Which follows Harvey Keitel's character.
I wanted to make Lee do it.
Oh shit! Sorry.
Yeah, that would have been really fun.
Oh, that. Well, we'd have to watch it, and we're at the point in this. I swear to God, every week we go like, why do we do this to ourselves and make ourselves watch shitty movies? Because we learn interesting things,
and I thought that you would find it interesting.
Maybe.
All right.
The sequel looks truly horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
It came out the same year.
Yeah.
And I think
what?
Yeah. The cast is bizarro. Here we go.
It has many of the same people in it. A couple of them, anyway.
Some of the same. Yeah. The cast is Harvey Keitel, Lou Reed, Michael J. Fox, Roseanne Barr, Jim Jarmusch, Lily Tomlin, Jared Harris, Giancarlo Esposito.
Exposito.
Madonna? Goddamn Madonna is billed like 10th.
Yeah, RuPaul is in there too.
Mira Sorvino, Keith David. Jesus Christ. This is like a bit.
Yeah, it would have been
bigger movie than the.
It would have been a great fucking cast for Lee to fake because he's obviously never heard of the adventures of Augie Wren.
All right, maybe I'll call Lee's partner and tell her to like hit him over the head and.
Do a real nice bonk
CTE real quick, yeah. Mm-hmm. God damn.
A nice CTE real quick.
You know,
ruh-roh.
You fucking monster.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The other thing was the money. So it cost $7 and made $38, which is a resounding success.
No, it didn't.
I don't know, man. In 1995, this is, again, like...
I guess nobody was doing movies could anything do no wrong. In 95. I don't know,
it's one of my favorite years for movies, I think.
But it, I don't even know.
It made June $38 million.
Yeah.
Dear God.
I don't know. It opened has, very small to like five screens, and it then
has
it like some, blasted.
It has us, some but. Big names, especially for the time.
It does. Yeah, it certainly does. But yeah, looks like shit. Is shit. Mm-hmm. Story was shit. Whole thing's
really
bad.
Boring.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. All right. Well, with that beautiful send off, the IMDb with 37,000 votes.
Again, confusing.
Is a 7.4.
How? How is that possible?
I don't know, because it's so all over the place. There's some good acting in it. I think.
Yeah.
I think that Harold, in particular, does a good job. I think that Harvey Keitel, generally playing a good Brooklyn tobaccoist or some shit. I don't know. It's fucking stupid. It really, we forgot to give you a cast member, and that cast member was New York City.
The city of New York.
Yeah.
Yep. Sucks. I fucking hate every New York goddamn movie.
This one lays it on real thick too, like as Seth has been implying. Like it's
the accents are just wow.
Yep.
What about Ghostbusters? That's a movie where the city of New York is a character.
Yeah, kind of. There's a lot of other characters though. There's a lot of ghosts to sort of thin
like,
out.
Like Slimer and the Primanti Bros or whatever their name is.
No,
Johnny French.
They are in the. The Scolari brothers are in Ghostbusters 2.
I was imagining one of the worst sandwiches I've ever had in my life, which was at a Permandy Bros, where it was, you know, stale, untoasted white bread with wet, sloppy slaw, a very, very cold, frozen tomato, some chicken maybe, and then French fries. Mmm, sauceless. You know what I love about a sandwich? When it scratches down my throat.
Yeah. It is sharp and dry at the same time.
It's wonderful. It's anyway, Ghostbusters had the Primanti Bros. It had Slimer. It had that hot dog guy. It had
the hot dog guy is Slimer.
There was also the guy whose hot dog cart Slimer assaulted, by the way.
Okay.
There's the ghost cabbie. There's a skeleton cabbie, and
I was a little jealous
a
for a
dog.
Second that Seth had some like bizarro director's cut of Ghostbusters that no one else has.
Yeah, the Dan Aykroyd ghost blowjob scene is in its entirety.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so if Dan Aykroyd is the hot dog guy, you should see a doctor.
I suppose so.
Talk about a burning sensation.
I won't. Seth, rate this movie. Rate all the movies.
Jesus, that didn't happen yet? What the fuck?
I haven't been paying attention. All right, so the original is boring as shit and is dumb. I don't know, like a 2? Sucks. It sucks. I think the only redeeming factor is Stalker Channing with her awesome eye patch.
Underutilized.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
Lee's movie, which was, oh boy, pretty fun, because there's all kinds of like you run over a bunch of press with your backwards camera.
He does remember. That's good.
Oh my god.
you have Harold just like jumping off of cliffs like crazy. It's real confusing, but it also is kind of poignant, and I enjoyed it.
I would like to point out, I feel a lot of the confusion came from the long stretches of interruptions, not the frequent interruptions. I don't care about that. Sure. It's how long they lasted.
Yeah, I'm really a spear of longinus, not a nail in the hand or whatever.
Oh, we're back to Jesus.
I was just trying to think of like a long and short sort of thing. So like,
Lee
is obviously a nail.
Destiny and a nail. Yeah.
Lee is a nail in the hand or ankle, depending.
Two in the bush. Even.
Yeah, and I'm a real spear of long guy, and it's just showing up and stabbing a boy in the side for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does track you.
Yeah, but then again.
Zach, I'll take the 0 if we can move this along.
I'll have to check the rule book. I don't think that's part of the contract that we all signed.
I'm sorry, my buddy. All right. So with that parable out of the way, Lee, I'm going to give you an 8.3.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
I thought it'd be really good.
Toy, toy, toy. Yeah, agreed.
Auto snuff, baby.
Sure enough. Yeah, original movie, one of the more irritating movies. You really got to go all bad or all good. And it was so very just nothing. Like, it was so confusing. And I kept reading, like, the Wikipedia summary of it.
Oh, the Wikipedia summary is completely out of order and very confusing.
Yeah, it was not in the same order as the thing, but
Well, you gotta remember, Wikipedia is user-generated, and if no one gives a shit about this movie, there's not gonna be any, like, community standards to make it better, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was definitely a case of that. Yeah, it was so unnecessarily confusing. Mm-hmm. I'll go 1.9 even.
Ooh,
let's get her on down there.
Shit, I thought I was the negative boy, but I guess... No.
Well, and it just pisses me off that on IMDb it has a 7.4. That is just unfathomable.
It is basically criminal. I thought I was wrapped in weird bandages. And maybe I'm the robot man or whatever, and you're the negative boy. I don't know.
Okay.
From the Lee, your movie. Doom Patrol.
And oh sure,
there you go.
Yeah, what's that guy's name in real life?
Brendan Fraser.
No, the mummy guy.
Jerry Seinfeld.
No, he's in White Collar. No,
I'm pretty sure Brendan Fraser is the mummy guy.
Talking about Matt Bomer.
Matt Bomer.
Yeah, and also Brendan Fraser is definitely the mummy guy. So
oh well, yeah. Okay, context is important for
him and Rachel Weisz just together raising all of our sexual awarenesses and all sorts of things.
Oh my heavens, yes. Oof. Yep. Lee, your movie was incredible. I really thought it was all that jazz for a long time, and I wouldn't have been mad about it at all. But you did take us a different direction. I thought you were going to kind of end at the actual stunt, honestly. Mm. Right before, and then you cut, and that's like, that's it.
So it was ambiguous. Like, yeah. But like, I don't know.
You did sort of the proxy version.
And Exposito getting a little exposition there at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, my thought about it is like, in my head, I've completely convinced myself that Tom Cruise will do this. Right. And like... Sure. So for me, there is no ambiguity. This is how it ends.
Right.
Like, ending it early. Brings in the whole. Everybody's been talking about this bullshit like recently with like the Tar. Tar is clearly a dream sequence in the second half. It's like, no, there should be no. I don't want anyone to question whether or not
people were saying that.
They're idiots.
Okay.
Yeah, it's anyone who
did they watch a different movie?
I know, right? I know. Yeah. Like, sure, that if you can have a dream in a movie, that's fine, but like that's clearly not what's going on.
Yeah, especially because Monster Hunter comes in at the end, and that's really, you know, that's someone real fucking life, my boys.
Someone finally asked Todd Field about Monster Hunter, and he's like, I fucking love
Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter World is super goddamn fun, even though I haven't played it in like a year. But holy crap, it was really, really fun when I played it.
Y'all have also seen that Todd Field invented Big League Chew, right?
What?
I think you were talking about this in some context, and I was so confused I just didn't even register the whole thing.
He used to be a bat boy for the minor league baseball team that Kurt Russell's dad owned up in, I think, Portland.
Jesus, that's so a lot of sentence you just said right there.
Yeah. And like
I can't believe he was in the National Enquirer.
Bat boy.
Oh.
That was more of a Weekly World News thing.
All
but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. He and some baseball player, I forget who, at some point like came up with the idea for Big League Chew, and their prototype, they put chewing gum through a paper shredder.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah. Right. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they developed it with this other baseball player who eventually was the only person who got like any money out of it. But he co-invented Big League Chew.
That is super. I thought there was a joke at the end of that, but there wasn't.
No, that's just an interesting anecdote.
Yeah, weird. Mm-hmm. All right.
But anyway, the whole reason we got on Todd Field and Tar is like, I don't want this to be an ambiguous ending. Like,
sure.
Because in my head, this story inspired by what I think is going to happen with Tom Cruise when Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2 comes out.
Right.
Like, this is reality. This is the reality you live in, is this man kills himself on screen for entertainment purposes.
Not to further derail, have they capped the Mission Impossibles, theoretically? Like, has anybody said, like...
Yeah. It's at least the series... Ethan Hunt, the Tom Cruise character, will make their final appearance in Dead Reckoning Part 2.
Oh,
they have explicitly said these two movies are the send-off for Ethan Hunt.
Okay, fair enough.
Until he comes back as a hologram.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hologram for the King, baby, which is the name of a real movie and a book.
Cool. Lee, the other thing that you could have done but didn't mercifully was he's not dead in the end, and it's something.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought was gonna
go. like a Tom Sawyer Huck
fan. Yeah, right. Very much I was kind of anticipating given
but that did not
your love for 19th century literature.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It didn't fit the whole thing you were saying up until there. Like you were, it was very steadfast, like, yes, this is, and you kept doing the refrain and everything. I was like that's a weird ending, and I'm glad that you didn't do it. Yeah. I'm gonna go.
Oh, I forgot you hadn't rated yet.
No,
same.
I'm talking about Tar too much. 9.5. Yep. Oh, it's really good.
Thank you.
Bump mine up to a 9.
Okay. Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you made some good points.
Yeah. Well, I do my best.
I thought, just for context of this, my feeling is like, if I were a writer, I would write this as a short story. And then I realized I am a writer on this dumb show that me and my friends make.
Yeah, we work hard.
And I don't have to fill in all the details if I do it this way. Yep. So.
Yeah. Sure enough.
We do stupidly do more work than all of Hollywood because we're perfect and beautiful.
Fully agreed. So I'm next. You guys said we talked about it.
Yeah,
I don't remember. What are we doing?
So next time, Zach, you are going to do a movie called Accident Man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And this came up last week when I was when I got bored talking about The School of Life and started looking up David Paymer movies. And this is...
You know at least one actor already, and it is David Paymer. Clap, clap.
Well,
David
Paymer. As evidenced by The School of Life, he... will be in a lot of things that aren't always amazing movies. So that's...
I'm just going to say this. I think this movie is going to be at least very fun to watch. I don't know if it'll be good. I think it'll be entertaining.
Does it exist?
Yeah, it does. I'm sure we can find out.
It very exists. It is very much a specific genre that people seem to like. And the cast is full of actual notable people.
Yeah, okay. There's some people in it. Yeah, sure. I'm not super looking forward to it, but that's fine.
All right.
You were so high on this idea last week.
I know.
Like, I swear to God. Like, whoever's editing Seth, that episode, like, go back and hear Seth talk about, like,
Seth had to watch Smoke, and then
it really bummed me out. You know, the life caught up. Mm-hmm. Life caught up.
It does find a way.
That is what that super sexy leather panted gentleman talks about.
Scientist. Super sexy leather panted scientist.
Is he a doctor of chaos theory? I don't know.
I know he's a mathematician. I think he is Dr. Ian Malcolm. Yeah. Zach, this would be your expertise here.
I think he is a doctor. But I think in like a... not a very practical way, I think, in a theoretical way, because he does all the like...
Let's not talk about theoretical doctors that aren't actually anything.
In the taxonomy that one would categorize physicists. Wow. Like, there's the practical and the theoretical. Like, I think because he does all the stuff about talking about like
attacked. We can a linguist.
We can, but should we? Is kind of his whole thing, right? Like,
man, oh damn. Wow. That's.
I feel like this is a really bad episode.
could be.
I think there were a lot of goofs. The actual content was not so good. Yeah,
I did a lot of yelling through Lee. So until next time, I'll yell what Lee's yelling.
I can't believe the cut isn't going to be. I feel like this is a really bad episode.
Oh, and that's the cut.